I see you have decided to visit the elegant city of Aseldorai. What a wonderful choice. Otherwise known as the Artist's Retreat, Aseldorai has long been an elven home of refined tastes and exquisite fashion. As we walk the wide, delicately adorned streets, you may notice that silks and satins are favoured by all the elven folk in this warmer season. Feel how the warm breeze lifts your spirits. The way it catches the colourful fabrics and makes them billow is known as aloridon, or feathers of air. Elven folk wear their clothes light and flowing to make the best of this effect. I find it rather flattering. The smooth flagstone underfoot is cool, isn't it? These streets were lined with such pale stone to reflect the moonlight. At night, the whole city shines as if it were among the stars themselves. In fact, the name Aseldorai is one of the names given to the moon in Elvish folklore. We are in the artisan's quarter for the moment. From this courtyard, you can catch glimpses through the climbing roses of the flute carver's workshop. She seems to be putting the finishing touches on a particularly intricate work. These roses are beautiful. I've always thought sandalwood and rose such a pleasing combination of scents. From here, you can hear the carvers and carpenters at work. I tried my hand at it once, but I'm much too impatient for the kind of work these artists do. Let us walk under the trellises down to the canal side. Through these streets, you can reach the markets and all their genteel bustle. But let's save that for another visit. No, here. The merchants use these barges to ferry their wares to nearby cities. Wine, silks, lotus oils and fruits are all packed onto these pretty boats. Every merchant paints theirs in different colours, signalling their specialist wares and representing their noble houses. The children running barefoot between these barges are bringing slips of orders to their parents. They can swim almost from birth, and like to tease the giant koi that swim lazily in the canal itself. There. There's one under the shade of this bridge, waiting for the children to throw grain, no doubt. They live like honoured pets in the City of the Moon. Here, let the gentle water from the fountain cool your hands. There are many springs like this around the city that feed into the canal itself. They run down from clear mountain springs. It is the same water from which the summer wine is made, as pure as it is possible to find. If you look up, you can see the Lunar Temple's polished roof. Every tile was individually struck from moonstone. Each season, it's cleaned and buffed by a specialist team of craftsfolk. Let's head that way now, to get a better look as we approach the Scribe's Hill. All the parchment you can see strung up between the buildings here as we walk up the hill itself is colloquially referred to as Serena's Leaves. Local folklore maintains that the first magic scrolls were inscribed on leaves of the world tree by an enchantress named Serena. You can see why the search for a scribe in the city is sometimes called climbing the tree. Let's pause here at the top. It is a little windy, but the scents carried from the artisan's quarter behind us more than make up for the slight buffeting. Every berry juice to make ink, and every candle burned to brew potions or scorch maker's marks, contributes to the unique smell of the top of Scribe's Hill. It is one of my favourite places in the whole city. Here we are, the Lunar Temple herself, overlooked, of course, by the Royal Palace. Here the clerics prepare rites for everything from joining ceremonies to journey blessings. The tall guards you can see at every door are paladins of the Lunar Wren, an order sworn to the protection of this temple and all its inhabitants. Their armour is laced with mithril, which only goes some way to explaining the shine. Lunaren paladins are extremely concerned with their appearance. It is a lot quieter inside the temple itself, isn't it? Everything has become a little muted, or a little muffled. The ceremonies here have a timeless air of reverence about them. Many visitors from distant lands, as well as folk from Iseldarai herself, seek the healing of the clerics here, so there are spells that hush sounds on every corridor in order to preserve the meditation and rest of those within. We should climb the Silver Tower while we're here. I like to run my fingers up the carved handrail as I do, polished and smoothed to a shine after centuries of hands doing just the same. I wonder what famous adventurers have walked these steps and held these very rails. Here, at the top, we can see the whole city stretched out under us. You can see how far the palace reaches back into the forest beyond. The gardens are beautiful. If you get the chance, you should explore them. There is a rumour that the princess has befriended a unicorn, who now lives amongst the flowers the royal family have collected from all over the world, over countless generations. Certainly, you wouldn't find it in the stables, although I hear the queen keeps all manner of exotic beasts beside the white stallions for the royal guard, and the greys for the Lunaren. See the scribe's hill that we climbed from the canal, and from here you can see the barges starting their journey along the river to the west. I do hope we'll have more time to explore, and that you will let me join you, if you do. For now, please feel free to enjoy the city at your leisure. Walk among its people and delicate architecture. And me. And I will see you soon.